Welcome to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. This is Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, and in today's installment, it's another look at how the community is coming together in the face of the COVID-19 outbreak. This time, we're talking with folks from Independent Lifestyles, Sauk Rapids, including executive director Kara Ruff, and then Lori Olmsheed and Sean Reagan as well. Independent Lifestyles Incorporated has been an organization that's been around for quite a while, as they offer programs and services as well as advocacy for people with disabilities. And as we'll find out, COVID-19 precautions taken by the communities can sometimes have a pretty intense effect upon people with disabilities. So it's up to organizations like Independent Lifestyles to evolve not only their organization, but also the services that they provide in order to make that meaningful difference that ultimately everyone is looking for right now. So, welcome to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota, Sean, Lori, and Kara. How about we start off and you can introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about Independent Lifestyles.
Okay, great. We are Independent Lifestyles, the Center for Independent Living, and we are a private nonprofit organization that serves 11 counties in central Minnesota. We serve people with disabilities, so anyone with a physical, cognitive, mental, emotional, chemical, sensory disability of any type is qualified for services, and that's from birth to death. One of the unique things about us is that we are consumer controlled, which means 51% of our board and our staff must be people with disabilities so that we're governed by those that we serve. We really believe in equality for everyone in our society, and so our services are very advocacy-based and very much human rights-based. We provide a wide variety of services, including independent living skills training, where we work one-on-one with individuals to achieve their independent living goals and to learn the independent living skills necessary to achieve or maintain independence. We also help them with our housing program, achieve independence. We have a representative pay program in which we're the financial fiduciary for almost 900 people. We do information and referral, peer mentoring, accessibility, making homes and vehicles accessible. We do case management, medical case management, transition from nursing homes and into the community. We do PCA choice programming and social and support groups.
And one of our biggest growing programs right now is called PRIAS, which is helping kids with disabilities who are in school and then looking whether it's to go find a job after high school, go to college. We help, you know, with that transitional period and make sure they get what they need.
Right on. So this is kind of a big question, I guess, but how have things changed lately for you guys? Because, I mean, Independent Lifestyles has been around for a while, but there's been a change. Can you give us a couple of examples of, you know, what's been going on?
Well, one of the biggest changes for us is the inability to meet with our clients or our consumers, we call them, in person. Due to the COVID-19, we are, of course, we have a lot of staff working from home, so that has been a major change. And for one of our main program, Independent Living Skills Training, we send staff out to 11 counties in central Minnesota to meet with people in their communities, in their homes, and we've been unable to do that. So we've had to institute a lot of virtual meetings and phone conversations to keep up our supports for the people that we serve.
Well, and yeah, that becomes quite the challenge too, because, you know, before you're kind of face to face, and now you're somewhat still face to face, but there's a computer screen between you if you're able to connect. And, you know, so, I mean, from my experience, there's definitely a difference. So, what kind of difference does that make in the work that you're doing with these folks?
Well, a lot of the people that we serve, people with all kinds of disabilities, have very limited access to computers and technology. Not all of them, but a lot of the people we serve have difficulty in accessing that, or are in the process of learning the skills to utilize those things, or simply cannot afford them. Even right down to a limited number of phone minutes that are available to them to keep in contact with us and their loved ones. lack of social and recreation opportunities. If they live in an apartment building, there's no longer common spaces. But for a lot of people, they just don't have access to the technology that they need to remain in touch with everyone.
And I think with in March, when everything around COVID started, you know, it wasn't a question of if we're going to adapt and continue providing services for everyone, but how. And, you know, every program had to look at things differently as in independent lifestyles, but we're proud of what we've done, especially when we've seen the struggle with a lot of other nonprofits locally.
Yeah, well, what are some of the lessons that maybe you guys have learned that you could maybe pass on to other organizations? What have some of the best practices come up as? I mean, I know that they can kind of sneak up on you and you kind of realize it, oh, hey, we should do things this other way. What kind of things have you noticed so far?
I think we kind of pride ourselves on trying to be a leader in the industry. And so I think, you know, we have one of our strengths as a consumer controlled agency is we frequently are surveying our consumers to find out what their needs are and what they want help with and what they're lacking in their lives. And so I think we've been very quick to respond and to roll out our huge movement that we're doing now. And so I think the most important thing is to not sit back and wait for someone else to figure it out. I think each entity has to really take the bull by the horns and figure things out and try new strategies themselves.
And not be afraid of change.
And not be afraid of change. You know, it's just even for our staff, it's been very different working from home and having to obtain all the equipment for them to be able to work at home and things like that. So it's been a major shift as a business and as a human service entity.
Yeah, just the process that we went through getting connected on this interview.
Right, know? Exactly, right, yeah. Right.
It's like, would have been quite a bit easier a few months ago.
I know, you think, oh, okay, we got this, and, you know, click and click, and then all of a sudden, hey, what's that strange thing, and oh, no. And, yeah, then you kind of battle through it, and, you know, my dog hasn't barked on air yet, but he's getting close. Could happen at any moment. So,
right.
But, you know, I think there's two things. There's more of a, I wouldn't call it a professional forgiveness, but there kind of is. You know, there's a, this, oh, well, that's just, you know, the home environment intruding on, you know, the business environment, whatever that might be. And, you know, it kind of makes everyone a little bit more human that way, which I find kind of interesting. But, you know, so I don't know. There's pluses and there's minuses, I guess. And I would imagine that with dealing with your population, sometimes there is that. How shall I put this? Almost like this intimacy anyways, because you're dealing with something that's very personal and, you know, very private with what these individuals have going on. And, but, you know, now it's like, well, that's been, I don't know, just kind of tweaked a little bit. It's now everybody's got that in a way. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah. And I think we have that personal relationship, with a lot of our consumers, because for a lot of them, we are their only support that they're going to be able to see, even during, you know, normal times, that our society is not built for a lot of the people we serve. And especially during a crisis like this, we have to make sure that they don't fall, you know, fall between the cracks. We have to make sure we're still letting them know that we are there for them, that we are still their support. And,
They're not in it alone.
Yeah, they're not in it alone.
Yeah, we were deemed essential as an agency right off the bat. And I think, again, it's more important now than ever that we have a huge presence and a vocal presence on behalf of the people that we serve, and we're making sure that their needs get met.
And that's where these care packages come in. We've spent about $20,000 on care packages for our consumers with their basic needs.
With a lot of plans to spend more.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let's touch on that next. So this is a tangible thing that you all are doing. You're in the process of doing it and handing it out. Explain what's in the care packages and why these things are so important. And then, you know, maybe, you know, how people can help out.
Actually, in our care packages, there's probably a minimum of like 20 items, anything from laundry soap to dish soap to bar soaps to shower wash to cleaning supplies, masks, paper towels, Kleenex, gloves, protein bars, oatmeal, puzzles, some things for them to do, cards, puzzles, coloring books, that type of thing. We teased Sean here because he did go into Sam's Club more than once for toilet paper because, like anybody else, we have teamed up with Costco, and Costco has been very generous with allowing us to order supplies through them, but we still are just like any other person, the public. You only get one package of toilet paper, one package of Kleenex. So we've had our staff all go through and buy so that we can get enough to put in our care packages for our consumers.
Because a lot of people are struggling just to fill a household with the basics right now, and going to multiple stores, and we know that's not an option for so many of our consumers, whether financially or just the transportation. So we want to make sure that they have the supplies they need and that they're not spending their, you know, their limited budget on these essentials.
Something we can give them.
Yeah, it is definitely much more of a challenge. And, you know, that's just for, you know, it's like I've got a car, I've got, you know, money. But yet, you know, it's still a challenge getting to the store, doing the things.
Well, we worry once in a while if we're going to have enough toilet paper. So can you imagine they don't have a car.
Mm-hmm. Or you can't go to 8 places at a time or, you know, to search all over the community. It's different circumstances. And many of our consumers live in very rural communities where there is not public transportation or 10 stores to go to. So, you know, or there's access barriers with transportation or their housing or the community resource. So there's many factors that come into play.
Do you think, what is the dynamic of the population that you're serving? Is it more like in the city? Is it more rural? Is it kind of evenly split? What do you think?
It's probably split. You know, our most populous area is probably Wright and Stearns counties. But we, you know, serve Meeker, Morrison, Mille Lacs, Kanabec, Kandy, Ojai, and, you know, a lot of more rural communities as well.
Central Minnesota,
we have
pretty well covered.
Yep.
Yeah, and I bet there is a difference, you know, different concerns, you know, things that people in the city would have to worry about, the people who are more rural do not, and, you know, vice versa. So, yeah, and then, you know, what you're talking about, other services are then impacted. You know, you think of like, you know, Metrobus, you know, the Dial-A-Ride, you know, the all sorts of, that's just the one that popped into my head there, but then there's all sorts of other things that go on where, you know, things are different now. And this population that you've been serving, they've maybe been getting by for a little while, but now everything has shifted. And, you know, folks are realizing that within their own lives. But then what does that mean to the vulnerable crowd? And how do we, you know, what steps do we take? What things are being done right now? There's the, you know, there's the CARES Act, there's the packages that you're putting together, but are there other things that are changing or potentially could change, or what kind of change would you all advocate for?
Well, we're doing some other things with our CARES funding, too, that we got through DEED as a Center for Independent Living to respond to the COVID issues. Part of it is obtaining more technology for our consumers so that they can be in touch and have access to the things that they need. We're also working on a health equity campaign to ensure health equity for people with disabilities and that their needs are met, especially during these trying times. And we're also going to go to more personalized care packages for what individuals might need due to their circumstances or their environment. And we're also partnering with rural food shelves to give them some of our money to help out in those rural areas more as well. But one thing I think that, you know, is important to note is that people with disabilities experience a high rate of social isolation, and a lot of the folks that we work with have a mental illness and experience anxiety and depression, and so
for anyone, you know, I think we're all experiencing those things during the pandemic, but if you already have pretty substantial underlying issues with that, this only exasperates that, and the feelings of isolation and anxiety rise to new heights, and it's really important that we are being inclusive of everyone in our community and society and not leaving out marginalized populations, and that we are doing appropriate outreach to ensure that everyone feels valued, served, respected, and has choice and dignity.
And I think one area that CARA and Independent Lifestyles have done really well during all of this is we have always advocated for awareness and equality for everyone, but, you know, mainly focused on people with disabilities. And I think what this whole situation and crisis has highlighted is that now everyone is kind of seeing so many of the barriers and the struggles that our consumers that we work with go through every day, just on a normal day-to-day basis.
Things we take for granted. Hard,
getting
supplies you need. Care, getting the supplies that you need, not having the financial income that you're accustomed to. I mean, those are issues that the world is kind of experiencing now that are very common and now exasperated for people with disabilities.
And even down to, like, the attitudinal basis,
yeah.
Where a lot of our consumers know if I go out to a store anytime, I'm going to get some weird looks, or people are going to maybe even seem a little nervous about me.
Mm-hmm.
And now, during this, I think everyone's starting to understand that this is something that everyone can struggle with. Everyone can join the disability population. We all have to be aware of the struggles and work towards changing the face of ability.
You're tuned to 88.1 FM KVSC and the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. We're talking with Kara Ruff, Lori Olmshade, and Sean Reagan from Independent Lifestyles. And the topic is how the COVID-19 outbreak is affecting members of our community with disabilities, and how maybe we're all getting a little taste of what it's like to feel different right about now. For more information on Independent Lifestyles and all the programs that they have, you can find them online at independentlifestyles.org. You know, everybody feels a little bit of anxiety at some point, but what happens when that anxiety is too much? And I imagine that there's quite a few people who have hit that wall at some point over the last, you know, couple of months where they're like, I can't go to the store. I can't, there's probably a whole list of things that they can't do. And they may have never felt that before.
Exactly.
Yeah. And maybe in the long run, hey, we get a lot of empathy out of this, you know, towards.
Yeah. That would be a wonderful result. Yeah. It would be a wonderful result to realize the tremendous issues that so many go through on a normal basis, let alone how they're exasperated during a pandemic.
And a lot of times you don't realize that until it actually happens to you, until you experience it yourself or someone in your family or someone close that you know.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, just a personal story on my side. About 10 years ago, I had an anxiety attack. I didn't know what it was. I thought I was having a heart attack. And then, you know, talked to my doctor. The doctor's like, well, if that was actually your heart, you'd be dead right now because those are the symptoms of that. So that's not happening. So I bet it's anxiety. And I'm like, what? So, you know, she
right.
was like,
right.
Yeah, she was like, well, go talk to somebody. They'll explain it. And it was one of those things where I'm like, really, this is that thing. And it's like, I've been feeling, it's just part of my daily life, but I just kind of do, it's just what it is. But yeah, a couple of things here and there, then all of a sudden that anxiety goes above a level and then boom, you know, then you got something.
Yeah, sometimes it's beyond your control.
Yeah. Yep. And with a lot of, you know, and that's, you know, the population that you're serving, it is out of their control, and there's a lot of it, and that's why, you know, Independent Lifestyles and other organizations like that exist, is to give that hand, you know, to people who, you know, they just need a little bit of a hand, and then they can function within life. Well, now maybe everybody needs that hand a little bit.
Well, and they deal with it every day of their life, where obviously for us it's at this time right now, so yeah, a little empathy goes a long way.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
You need empathy now is the time.
Yeah.
I would like to say, actually, the St. Cloud Times actually did an article on us, and it came out today. And then Sean posted it on Facebook, and I got an email from a director in Alabama who read Kara's article and asked us about it, congratulated us on the great job we're doing, and wanted to know, he has 225 residents, wanted to know what we were doing in our care package, just because he thought that was a great idea, and he'd like to start doing that for him. And that was from Alabama, and that was just actually a little while ago. So I think, you know, the more people that we can make aware of what we're doing, the better for everybody.
I'm sorry, we serve, you know, people of all disabilities. So if there's somebody out there who has a disability, who's hurting, who needs access to resources, needs some advocacy or some help in any way, you know, they can sure give us a call at Independent Lifestyles, and we can see how we might be able to assist them.
Right on. So have you had any other kind of success story type things that are out there? Anything that has happened that, you know, maybe shows a little bit of that empathy or something that's a little surprising and heartwarming?
We've had volunteers come in and help us with the care packages and offer to help us with the care packages, loading and delivery from some community groups and from, of course, our staff and our staff spouses and things like that. And that's been really wonderful to see that kind of care and energy around our projects.
Nice.
And I think that's, you know, just anyone looking for some way to help right now or something, you know, if they're sitting at home and they want something to do, something to feel like they're making a difference, give Independent Lifestyles a call. It's 320-529-9000. And just say you want to be put on the volunteers list. Give us your number, and then we'll reach out as needed when, like, you know, maybe we need some manpower to get the boxes put together for the care packages. Maybe we need help with getting access to certain supplies. So,
and donations. We take any donations.
Donations as well.
Absolutely. Goes a long way.
I think also just access to certain things are difficult right now because, you know, we've worked with Costco on a number of things, but there's certain things like milk, I think, is a big one, but also just the masks, any of the toilet paper products,
yeah, paper towels, yeah. Anything that they have that limit on.
Anyone who has a bulk supply that they're able to help us out with, we were able to pay. We just need help acquiring it to get out to people in the care packages.
Well, how about the any plans for the future? I know that, you know, this whole COVID thing has just thrown everything into chaos, but I know that, you know, different programs and things like that that you had planned. Are there things that, how have things changed, and do you have plans for some of these programs in the future, or are you just going to kind of focus on the care packages right now and then see where things head?
No, we're also going to be doing our technology surveys and getting technology out to the people that we serve so that they are not so isolated and that they can keep up on affairs and resources themselves. We're also partnering with the food shelves, and we are
planning retreats
up at Camp Bliss, our retreat center, to get people out of their social isolation mode, to help recover from the intense anxiety or overwhelmingness that they felt. And so we'll be doing that up at our retreat center called Camp Bliss in Walker, Minnesota. And, you know, in general, we're just really evaluating how we do business and how we work.
And, you know, those are programs and things we've added since this whole crisis started, and we got funding through the CARES Act. But, you know, like we mentioned, we have programs all across the board, and those services aren't going anywhere. We're going to continue them. We're going to continue to grow them. All this COVID relief is something that we're doing because we feel that we, you know, need to help our community, but it's not stopping what we're doing day to day.
Yeah, it's like the mission is still going on. It's just different.
Maximize independence.
Full force, yeah, mm-hmm. Full force.
Well, right on. Anything else you'd like to say? Any words of encouragement for other nonprofits? Anything?
Well, not to be cliche, but we are all in this together, and the nonprofits do such tremendous and hard work in our communities. I would like to just shout out to all the nonprofits in our community. I know most of you, and you do tremendous work, and as essential workers, we're on the front lines out there doing critical services to our most vulnerable populations. And,
And I think that's really noteworthy in these days. And, you know, a lot of nonprofits are struggling financially and with a lot of these technology issues and stuff. So I give my kudos to them and let them know that we're here to partner with them as well.
Well, right on. Well, thanks for chatting with me today.
Thank you,
Jeff. Thank you.
And we've been talking with Kara Ruff, Lori Olmshade, and Sean Reagan from Independent Lifestyles here on The Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. For more information online for all of the services and programs that they provide for those in the community, you can find them at independentlifestyles.org. Or you could also give them a call at 320-529-9000. And that includes getting on the list for volunteer opportunities, because as we as a community move through the COVID-19 outbreak, and as social distancing and stay-at-home orders fluctuate, the needs of our community still remain the same, or they've potentially grown. And maybe you need help, or maybe you can help out. And maybe you can help out, or maybe you're in need of help, possibly for the first time. These contact links and this contact information and links can also be found on our website at kvsc.org. Under the podcasts and Untold Stories of Central Minnesota tab, and the page for this story. This has been Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, reminding you to be that difference that you wish to see in the world. And the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota is made possible through support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. It has been produced at KVSC, proud member of Vampers, Diverse Radio for Minnesota's communities.